KPBS On Demand is supported by Art Power at UC San Diego, presenting Afrobeat Collective Coco Roco, touring their new album Tough Times Never Last on August 12th at the Epstein Family Amphitheater. Tickets at artpower.ucsd.edu.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Monday, August 4th. A new affordable housing community coming to San Diego. More on that next, but first, the headlines. San Diego leaders have announced an additional $15 million in funding for the Bridge to Home initiative. This is the latest round of funding for the GAP financing program, which has already committed more than $100 million. The funds will be spread across 24 projects and over 2,000 affordable homes. $10 million of the funding comes from former redevelopment funds, with the outstanding $5 million being provided by the city itself. The initiative offers GAP financing to help make projects like this one possible. Last week, I brought you some numbers regarding higher tariffs on some of our U.S. trading partners, a few that have been delayed another week. In place now is a 35% tariff on Canadian imports not covered under the existing U.S.-Mexico and Canada trade deal. Mexico itself is still facing a potential 30% tariff, but that has been extended another 90 days for the sides to try and reach a deal. A new battery storage facility is now open in Barrio Logan. It's projected to be the largest battery storage facility in San Diego. Owner and operator Arivon, notably a major customer and partner of Tesla, says it will help power the energy grid and lower chances of blackouts. But on the other side of that supercharged coin are some health and safety concerns. Last year, a battery storage facility in Escondido caught fire, as well as one in Otay Mesa. The company says the batteries being outdoors and spaced apart, with each battery being programmed to shut off at extreme temperatures, is a key to safety. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalich, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
Nearly 200 affordable housing units are coming to Mission Valley. Reporter Andrew Dyer says it's just phase one of a larger public transit-friendly project.
Two bulldozers, two scrapers, and a big hole in the ground. This is the first week of construction on the Becker, a 190-unit affordable housing complex just west of Fashion Valley Mall. Rebecca Louie is the CEO of Wakeland Housing, the developer of the Becker. She says projects like this are needed in the city.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, we're in a huge housing crisis here in San Diego. And so this is such a great example, because if you look around in Mission Valley, like, look at the jobs that are here, right? So we've got lots of retail, lots of hotels, hospitals, all jobs that are filled with people who cannot afford to live here in San Diego.
The Becker is just the first phase of the Riverwalk San Diego Master Planned Community. More than 4,000 new homes are being built here, as is a new trolley station. 430 affordable housing units are planned. The first, at the Becker, will be move-in ready in 2027. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
The clock is ticking on negotiations between Kaiser Permanente and tens of thousands of its healthcare employees. Reporter John Carroll says hundreds here in San Diego staged an informational picket Friday morning.
A couple hundred Kaiser healthcare professionals took to the street on their day off to make their demands known. Nikki Avey is a registered nurse at Kaiser and a member of the United Nurses Associations of California. She says Kaiser has its priorities in the wrong place.
They put the budget at the center of the care, whereas we as healthcare professionals put the patients in the center of our care every day.
We reached out to Kaiser. They provided us a statement which says in part that they have a long history of working productively with labor and that they're committed to interest-based bargaining focused on shared goals and collaboration. The current contract expires at the end of September. The folks picketing say if there's no new contract by then, they're ready to strike. John Carroll, KPBS News.
The Marine Corps has changed its long-standing agreement with an Oceanside-based credit union following a KPBS investigation last year. Reporter Scott Rodd says the new contract gives Marine recruits more choice.
Our investigation revealed FrontWave Credit Union has had an exclusive arrangement with the Marine Corps for decades. The agreement funneled thousands of Marine recruits into the credit union every year in order to process their direct deposits during boot camp. KPBS also found FrontWave relies on overdraft fees charged to Marines and other customers as a key source of revenue. Following KPBS's reporting, a bipartisan group of U.S. Congress members, led by Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, launched an investigation. FrontWave's new contract with the Marine Corps requires more financial counseling offered to recruits and guarantees recruits the choice of their own bank or credit union.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt that choice is valuable and people should be able to select the financial institution that they want to work with.
Bill Skimmyhorn is an associate professor of economics at William & Mary. He says these changes will only matter if the Marine Corps holds FrontWave accountable to the agreement.
You'll kind of now have to wait and see, does this seem to make a difference?
FrontWave declined an interview request. The Marine Corps did not respond to a request for comment. Scott Rodd, KPBS News.
San Diego's housing shortage continues to impact local residents with real estate prices well beyond what many can afford. KPBS and our nonprofit news partners have been digging into the source and history of the housing crisis. Journalist Bella Ross from our public matters partner Voice of San Diego spoke with news anchor Debbie Cruz to discuss her latest edition in the series.
Bella, much of your work has focused on the lack of housing in the city. Why has this problem gotten worse in recent years?
There are so many factors. You have the zoning ordinance, you have resistance from homeowners who don't want to see their community change or become more apartment heavy. You have all of these regulations. Recently there were reforms made to the California Environmental Quality Act that make it easier to build stuff, but that stood in the way for a long time. And then also the economy is just in a really complicated place. Labor is really expensive. Building materials are really expensive. And it's just kind of really hard to get anything done. So you have this landscape where between the regulations and general anti-housing sentiment, really there are very few things in favor of building more housing.
Your reporting suggests higher density housing could help address the affordability crisis. How did we end up with so many single family homes in the first place?
There's this really interesting study that came out of Berkeley that showed that the vast majority of the region of San Diego is zoned specifically for single-family homes. And when you think back to when San Diego was first becoming the city that we know today and the zoning ordinance was written, it kind of makes sense because it seemed like there was this endless amount of space that we can occupy. And it's also very important to say that the zoning ordinance was inherently discriminatory and really contributed to the kind of racial lines that we see placed along San Diego that exist to this day. But this made it so that it's much easier to build single-family homes, and you can really only build apartments in these kind of denser developments in a very limited number of areas. And this situation is worsened by the fact that San Diego is kind of in a geographically complicated position. We have Mexico to the south, we have the ocean, and then we have Camp Pendleton up north. So basically, our options are to develop east or to build up within our existing neighborhoods and make our existing neighborhoods denser.
What's the incentive for property owners to embrace higher density?
It's definitely a difficult trade-off because, like I've said, it's, we're really changing communities in a big way. But I think that it can be for the better. People talk a lot about wanting walkable communities. They don't want to be sitting in traffic all the time. They don't want to be living this life of long commutes and congestion. And really the only way to get around that is to invest in transit and invest in walkability in these denser neighborhoods where people are in proximity to the places that they're living and working and shopping and visiting people. And so in order to do that, you can't have these sprawling single-family neighborhoods. You need to kind of condense things.
So what are some of the most promising solutions to the current housing crisis at this point. Who is taking the lead in driving that change?
I mean, I think we've seen a lot of lawmakers up in Sacramento trying to kind of fulfill the things that I'm talking about now. So we talk about upzoning and making it easier to build these like denser apartment complexes in places where we currently have single family homes. And we also saw what I had mentioned about the California Environmental Quality Act. And that was recently reformed in a huge way that people have been talking about for decades now. And so like those kinds of changes, I think, could make a really big difference. But yeah, just kind of like breaking down some of those regulations or at least making them more flexible.
Anything else you'd like to add?
I do want to emphasize some reporting that came out of the Public Matters Project by Jake Gatta from KPBS that really showed that like even when the housing developments in a neighborhood are like largely luxury housing, it's still stabilized rents in that area, contrary to places where new housing wasn't being built at all or was being built in smaller amounts. So I think that having this understanding of the fact that like these luxury apartment complexes, while they seem very counterintuitive, it still does help us get to where we're trying to go. It's just a really complicated market equation.
Right. Well, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, Bella.
That's it for the podcast today. Contributing as editor today was Terrence Shepard. This podcast is hosted and produced by me, Lawrence K. Jackson. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Thanks for supporting local public media by listening and subscribing. Have a great day.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Bilhau Plumbing, Heating, and Air Restoration and Flood Services. Family-owned and operated over 4 decades, Bilhau has been serving the plumbing, heating, and air and water damage needs of the San Diego area since 1980. With their fleet of trained professionals, Bilhau has the ability to service all major and minor plumbing and HVAC emergency needs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Bilhau is committed to providing excellent service to their customers with transparent quotes and attention to detail on every job. Whether you're in need of an HVAC installation, plumbing, or water damage restoration in San Diego, they offer the convenience of scheduling an appointment over the phone, online, or through live chat on their website. Call 1-800-BILHOW or visit bilhau.com, because we know how.